Hello, this is Preston Schleinkofer, your host for Civil Defense Radio, where we discuss all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. This week, we are doing something a little bit different. Along the lines of keeping you informed, there's some information that you need to understand. So this episode will be the first of what will probably be a fairly regular update of various threats. So we're calling this Civil Defense Radio SITREP, Situational Report, SITREP. If you've never heard that before, then it's a military term that is pretty common. Every vet should know it. Anyways, so the title of this episode is Internal Threats, Insurgency. I'm gonna be reading a few things, giving you some insight into what's going on here. Everything that's been going on in America for the last few months, first with COVID, and then these riots that spring up in cities that are controlled by one political party. You know, I'm not going to be politically correct here. This is a Democrat problem. These are Democrats that are rioting in Democrat-controlled cities where the Democrats have complete control and they order their police to stand down or to go light on the rioters and protesters. You know, this is not about George Floyd. It's not about George. This is an insurgency operation, and it was validated for me by a former Army military counterinsurgency expert, Stephen Coughlin, in a podcast that I listened to a few weeks back. And I've got his report that he did that is excellent. Anyways, so I'm going to be reading a few things, giving you my take on this, and just trying to help you understand what is really going on here. We're not being told on the news the truth. Many people have already understood that the news is not the news, but it's propaganda. It's designed to lead us into a certain emotional response that favors the direction that this propaganda is designed to take us. Me, for one, I refuse to do it. Now, I've never mentioned this before, but I spent a little bit of time in a psychological operations unit where I was an analyst on a team that conducted psychological operations. So I understand some of the things that are being conducted against us. I see some of the methods, and it causes great concern. I can't admit that I was awake to this and saw it earlier on. I have seen it bubbling, and I suspected it, but it wasn't until I heard this podcast with Stephen Coughlin on the podcast that confirmed everything that I was thinking. I mean, it was like the clouds parted and the sun was shining, because I fully understood what was going on. Because, you know, I'm just like you. I don't want to be led astray, and I don't want to think the worst of my fellow Americans and the political process. But we have a problem, and that problem is an insurgency that cultural Marxists have instituted. I don't care if the truth is actually Marxism, Leninism, Maoism, or what other ism it is. It is a socialist, not a European socialist, but a communist socialist movement that is operating behind the scenes. They are very powerful. They are wealthy. And also, they are a minority. They make themselves look like the majority with the media propaganda that they own, but there's no way that they are the majority. The majority are the rest of us. These Marxists. Let me just throw a few things out there. The founders of Black Lives Matter are Marxists. They admitted that they are Marxists. There's a video out there, and I'll put the link in the show notes, where it's a YouTube video. Actually, I saw it on Facebook, but I'll put the video link in there where the one of the founders admits that her and her partner, who founded Black Lives Matter, are Marxists. They're trained as community organizers, and they are Marxists. The same thing with Antifa. Antifa goes back a long, long way, back to Nazi Germany, as a matter of fact. Matter of fact, if you look at some of the flags that they have today, they look very much like the flags that that were being used by their predecessors in the 40s. So this is not, actually maybe even sooner than late 30s, but this is not new. This is a Marxist organization, Marxist operation, and instead of attacking us overtly, they've been attacking us covertly in an insurgent way. And I'm going to refer to a couple documents here. One is the U.S. Government Counterinsurgency Guide, dated January 2009. I will have the link for this document in the show notes. And on page 6 is the definition of insurgency. Sorry about the page noise here, but it's going to be something that I can't get away from. So, insurgency can be defined as the organized use of subversion and violence to seize, nullify, or challenge political control of a region. Insurgents seek to subvert or displace the government and completely or partially control the resources and population of a given territory. Okay, think the CHAZ or CHOP out in Seattle, in Portland, in Richmond, Virginia, and a few other places where they've attempted that. They do so through the use of force, including guerrilla warfare, terrorism, and coercion, intimidation, propaganda, subversion, and political mobilization. Insurgents fight government forces only in the extent needed to achieve their political aims. Their main effort is not to kill counterinsurgents, but rather to establish a competitive system of control over the population, making it impossible for the government to administer its territory and people. Insurgent activity is therefore designed to weaken government control and legitimacy while increasing insurgent control and influence. One of the things that we see is we see a lot of violence going on, a lot of wide open violence and burning and destruction and a lot of assaults. Okay, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they're out there, they're hitting, they're beating people up, and they're killing people. Matter of fact, the police have been targeted, and that is typical insurgent operation. Matter of fact, it's how the Nazis took over Germany in their insurgent activities to get into power. First, they delegitimized the police. Then they established their own police force, just like what they're doing up in Minneapolis. They have their little neighborhood militias that they've authorized. They don't like the right having a militia, but their militias are fine. So they instituted these brown shirts in Nazi Germany, who became the quasi police. Well, if you weren't a Nazi, then you were a target of their violence, their intimidation, their coercion, and their theft. They would strong arm businesses to pay for protection and all kinds of things. So that's exactly what these guys are working towards by this defund the police movement. This is typical communist insurgency operation that has been classic through any country that they have either converted to socialism, communism, or have attempted. This is typical. Okay, if you read a counterinsurgency manual, the one that I read the definition out of, you'll gain some information from that. The second document I'm going to refer to is produced by Unconstrained Analytics. You can find it at unconstrainedanalytics.org. I'll have a link there. You may have to sign up for this document. It's just one of the things. If you want it, you'll have to sign, give them your email to get it, I think. But the title of this document is Re-Remembering the Misremembered Left, the Left's Strategy and Tactics to Transform America. It's by Steve Coughlin and Richard Higgins. Stephen Coughlin is a former retired Army major in counterintelligence, and he is with this organization, Unconstrained Analytics. And I'll tell you, his interview, I'll put the link to the interview in the show notes as well. It's fantastic. But what I'm going to do is, this is a huge, huge report. It's, I can't remember how many pages it is. I think it's like 260 pages, it's 265 pages. So I'm just going to read the executive summary. And if you'll bear with me, it's quite enlightening. So the executive summary is, when associated with rising factional discord, the increased hostility from the left resonates a violence that is becoming a clear and present danger. Oh, let me back up real quick. This report is from February 2019 with an update in July 2019. So it's you know, about a year old. Okay, so second paragraph. This paper will provide an estimate of the current situation that transcends well-traveled two-party political narratives. The objective is to provide a strategic understanding of the left that baselines the current situation to enable directionality, predictability, and actionability. To that end, the estimate will use a political warfare analysis to reframe the political environment in order to provide timely anticipatory situational awareness in support of decision making. National policy has come under the influence of constructed narratives that mainstream and conservative leaders neither understand nor control, lacking situational awareness to recognize the operational nature of information campaigns directed against national policy. Responses tend to be tactically limited and predictably reactive along scripted action-reaction cycles built into the operational sequencing of information campaigns controlled by the left. These powerful but misunderstood narratives drive policy. At their core, these narratives are not American. Rather, they are dialectically driven neo-Marxist memes that infuse mass lying efforts operating at the cultural level intent on powering down into the political space. This furthers the left's political warfare efforts to impose conformance, resulting in the non-enforcement of laws by those tasked with their oversight and enforcement. As these narratives transition into prevailing cultural memes, non-enforcement becomes institutionalized and enforced by an opposition that increasingly comes under the control of those narratives. And we're seeing that. As such, for the left, political organizations like Congress become vehicles to execute lines of effort in an execution matrix, along with information campaigns are executed from outside and above. Key findings and observations. The political rhetoric driving American politics runs along well-trodden paths, sustaining a political framework from a bygone era incapable of coming to terms with the political movements threatening our constitutional system today. Constrained by this archaic rhetoric, mainstream and conservative players are outmaneuvered in an information battle space they hardly perceive, responding to current threats in under-inclusive manners. The otherisms strategy development by Marxists to destroy America focuses on the systematic destruction of identity, leading to the systematic disenfranchisement of Americans from America. It manipulates the issues of the other, yet it has nothing to do with the other. Rather, it forces a classic dialectical negation along Hegelian lines. This activity presents a clear and present danger that will succeed if not countered. As such, this analysis does not suggest that this is a way to understand the left. It argues that it is the only way to understand it, recognizing that it is 1, Marxist, and 2, dialectically driven. The dominant cultural narrative of our time can best be summarized by the saying, political correctness is the enforcement mechanism of the multicultural narrative that implements neo-Marxism objectives. It is through these narratives that the left drives policy. Narratives that conservative leaders neither control nor understand drive national policy. When Republican leaders shrink from constitutional principles for fear of being accused of racism, sexism, homophobia, etc., they are subordinating those principles to neo-Marxist narratives designed for that purpose. Though these narratives may have been initially imposed, Republicans will adopt them over time through usage, subjective awareness of the role one plays in such a process is neither necessary nor required. Let me interject something here. This is called the Overton window. If you go back to the 50s and look where politics was, it was a lot farther to the right than it is now. But the left has continuously pushed things to the left and left and left and left. And then the Republicans have given in and accepted some of these ideas and what became norms, and have pushed the actual center way left. So it's quite a diagram to look at. Anyway, check out the show notes for the definition of Overton window. By submitting to these narratives, establishment Republicans first become pliant and then obedient to the left, accommodating it through words that work, that create the illusion of opposition while actually signaling surrender in the information battle space. In other words, by kneeling and saying that they support Black Lives Matter, that's submission, and that's signaling surrender. Back to the document here. In that role, regardless of the mandates that got them elected, establishment Republicans will defend the issues that got them elected in deliberately under-inclusive manners that conditions those issues for dialectical negation while demoralizing their base. What Republicans demoralize, the left then disenfranchises. In this role, establishment Republicans become the defeat mechanism of the left. In other words, they're being used to defeat the rest of us. So it turns into one party rule as there's no opposition. A strategic understanding of the left recognizes that it is dialectically driven. As such, the left is a teleologically informed movement that executes through history and thought along an arc with a trajectory. It is Hegelian. It defines everything that is as fuel for becoming in a dialectical process that compels it to negate, change, perpetual revolution, analysis of the left that does not account for the dialectic will fail. Defeat mechanism is a method of defeating an opponent. The critical theory of the Frankfurt School is classical Marxism dedicated to penetration and subversion that relies on Hegelian processes to achieve its objectives. There's three objectives. First one, it seeks the destruction of Western culture. Two, it is focused on an Aufheben der Kultur strategy based on otherisms and is nothing more than the targeted application of the dialectical principle of negation to a people. And three, it is fully integrated into larger political warfare efforts. The Frankfurt School leader, Marcus Marcuse, concurred with the Gramsci Marxist plan to adopt a long march through the institutions strategy based on Mao Zedong's long march political warfare strategy. Political warfare is a Maoist insurgency concept that recognizes the role narratives play in overwhelming rule of law societies. It includes the formation of mass line movements and counter-state activities. It also uses cultural-level narratives to power down into the political space where fidelity to the narrative will result in non-enforcement of law that over time becomes institutionalized. Mass line strategies, political engagements meet the people where they are. Through gentle nudges over time, passive participants become active. At first, a target may only be asked to sign a petition or provide an email or mailing address. From that point, the subject becomes the recipient of sustained communications related to the issues of the originating petition. While an individual may not be politically active, that person, through the supporting consumption of mass market media, will become more susceptible to activist messaging and discontent. In other words, propaganda. The overarching goal of this line of effort is the development and reinforcement of a mass line as it builds the counterstate within the state, complete with its own bundle of replacement legal culture and social norms that operate in parallel with that of the host culture. The reason America's current toolbox of responses is perilous is because it accepts mass line concepts of America as the terms of engagement. When, for example, mainstream Americans are manipulated into responding to mass line narratives, from within those narratives, a dialectical paradox sets in where the highly ideological thrust of the left's ambitions are made to sound normal while mainstream defenses of America sound shrill, rigid, and even ideological. The left focuses on cultural and institutional power by communicating its theological initiatives in terms of values while targeting the placement of cadre throughout the mass line so they can enable those values by converting them first to norms, then to policy, and finally to law. What is popularly called fake news and the deep state are better understood as propaganda and the counter state. Transitioning into a political warfare analysis, one begins to discern methods, processes, and directionality that terms like fake news and deep state do not capture. By their nature, media terms like fake news and deep state ensure that analysis remains fixed on the surface of events. Our national aversion to recognizing threats beyond the strictly military, especially ideological threats in the political warfare arena, has long been recognized by America's foes as an exploitable strategic level vulnerability. And the Communist Party of China is definitely using that to their advantage. The left uses dialectically determined political warfare concepts to drive a core set of narratives that interoperate at the tactical level while integrating at the strategic. Narratives are associated with the pseudo realities or second realities they seek to establish and enforce. They are called narratives because they are stories, fictions, that seek to supplant the real with the unreal. These narratives are directional. They have velocity and are always oriented on a target. Saying that the left moves dialectically through time on a trajectory simply recognizes that the left is a movement in history defined by its movement through history, that its backward trajectory defines its forward movement, and that failure to recognize this arc leads to error. It is for this reason that this assessment emphasizes historical events, conditions, and movements that have defined the left from the Hegelian dialectic to Marx to Wilson's progressivism and to the early Frankfurt School to Mao's Long March to Marcuse's thoughts on tolerance to political correctness. This is how the left should be understood. Hence, it would be a mistake to treat the historical elements of this assessment as little more than background material, assessing the left as if Hegel and Marx simply provide interesting historical context to today's events is the failure to recognize that for the far left, Marx was yesterday, Hegel the day before. Between the two, they are the source code of today's left. To emphasize this point, a recent Daily Caller article is included in Appendix E of this report to demonstrate just how relevant historical awareness of the left is to understanding today's left. And that's the end of the executive summary. This report is a must-read for anybody who is truly a patriot and wants to understand what is happening today. It may frighten some people. It may cause some nights of sleeplessness or unease, but we are fast approaching a time where patriots will have to stand up. You know, I'm kind of veering off of civil defense right now because I see an existential threat to our nation. This is a serious threat. This is not just hyperbole or prepper fantasy. This is an intelligence analyst assessment of what is going on. And this report that Stephen Coughlin and his partner, Mr. Higgins, did is a very, very thorough report. I have not read the whole thing yet, but I'm telling you, there is a lot in there. And I highly recommend you read it. I will include the link to the government's counterinsurgency guide, and I will provide that link to the video that talks about Black Lives Matter and their Marxist training. So I'm not bringing hyperbole. I'm providing proof. If anybody wants to slam me, bring it on. I'm telling you, I'm a fighter. I don't give up. I'm 62 years old, and I've walked streets that most people would be afraid to drive down. I've done it by myself, and I've done it at night, where I've been told, hey, you're white. You can't go in that neighborhood. I did, and I survived. People knew who I was. They didn't bother me. I'm telling you, I'm not Mr. Badass. I'm not, you know, Joe Rambo. I'm not going to bend over and take this line down. This is an existential threat to our nation, and anybody who fails to see this will be, unfortunately, they will be a victim of their own ignorance. So, anyway, I'm going to close. I'm going to close without my usual, but I ask you to go to our Facebook page, our website, get more information, and our YouTube, where we have older episodes showing up out there, and watch for more Civil Defense Radio sit reps. All right. This is Preston signing off. Take care. God bless.